Hi, Charlie.
Hello, Dr. Wright. Can you hear me?
You can hear you just fine, sir.
All right. Well, I was in Las Vegas.
Well, I wasn't in Las Vegas. I suspect it was just as Las Vegas-y as ever. We happened to be in Tucson, and that was nice and sunny down there, but doggone it, all the conferences are indoors, so what can I say?
Right, right. Well, I have a question. I tuned in a little late last week, and Dr. Sherman was on, and I'm not sure if it was Dr. Sherman or a caller, and they were talking about the benefits about olive oil and the consumption of olive oil. Did you happen to listen to that show?
No, but I bet you I know some of what they're talking about, sir. One of the really neat things that olive oil does for guy-type people, and you and I are guy-type people, is if we use enough of it, and what's enough of it? Well, we'll get to that, but if we use enough of it, it actually raises inside our bodies our levels of the anti-carcinogenic testosterone, which is called, for short, in scientese, 3-beta-adiol. It's got a gosh-awful long name, which I can't even remember, but that's what it's called, and there is research showing that it does that. And while we're on that topic, so does coconut oil. And I work with guys who've gotten their testosterone metabolites checked. And guys, y'all should do that whether or not you're using testosterone from the outside, because either way, our bodies take the original testosterone and metabolize it downstream. And if it goes downstream over here, that's anti-carcinogenic. But if it goes downstream over there, it's pro-carcinogenic. And we don't want too much pro-carcinogenic. We want a bunch of anti-carcinogenic. Anyway, I know guys who have worked with coconut oil and olive oil, and well, you know, they improve their anti-carcinogenic testosterone. So that's a biggie for guys, sir. Now, second thing, and then I'll shut up again, and that is if you do much cooking or you're married and your wife does, the only oils we should use, really, in cooking are olive oil and then that oil from Australia, which I just remember right now, but those two, they have a really high temperature that they can withstand without turning into oxidizing agents, sir. So it's one of the best things to use. If you got to use an oil in cooking, use olive oil, because it just doesn't oxidize until you get up to several hundred degrees, whereas most of the oils, they break down and oxidize pretty quickly, and those are not good to consume. Okay, my turn to shut up. Your turn, sir.
Okay, so what type of olive oil is the best? A virgin, extra virgin? And then also the question would be, if a person wanted to just ingest some of that olive oil, I know it's good for your skin, but say you wanted to ingest or take so much, you know, like a couple tablespoons, kind of like taking fish oil a day or something.
Yep, that's not a problem to do that, sir. Now, any of the oils, whether they're fish oil, olive oil, or whatever kind of oil, if we're ingesting a bunch of them, which a tablespoon is a bunch, and 2 tablespoons is also a bunch, but it's not an overdose, we always want to make sure we're taking a vitamin E capsule that same day, not the same mouthful, but the same day, because all these oils, they can, if used over a long period of time, they can cause what's called lipid peroxidation, which is kind of like rubbing a very small sandpaper on a very large board, but even so, over time, it can cause problems. And vitamin E blocks that entirely. Vitamin E is present in the cell membranes, and if an oil or a fat ever tries to do that, the vitamin E sacrifices itself, and the cells don't get hurt. So keep in mind that vitamin E to go with your oil, sir. And the oils, that olive oil, I could say, along with coconut oil, will help our anti-carcinogenic testosterone, and us guys could use that.
Well, yeah, I heard that. You know, it's helping your cardiovascular system, everything.
Yo, you bet, sir. That's important, too. I just mentioned the testosterone first because some of us guys do keep that in mind.
Sure. Can I ask you a quick question about, you also had on there something about choline, a type of a choline for cholesterol. Could you tell me exactly the name of the type of choline that would be good for lowering your cholesterol?
Well, sir, I take a different point of view there. I don't pay a hell of a lot of attention to cholesterol. Why? Because cholesterol is secondary in causing heart attack. It's secondary to overly thick blood. And if you haven't heard this before, I'll try to be as brief as possible because most listeners have been bored with it a lot already. And that is, if you happen to be a menstruating lady and you do not smoke or smoke cigarettes, your odds of having a heart attack or stroke are nearly zero. Okay, there's a study, and this is relevant to the next thing, which is a study done in the United States. Older men, older women, 2,300 men, 1,800 women. What'd they do? Well, they noticed that over a 9-year period of time, the ones who donated blood regularly had 45% less heart attack and stroke, 45 blinking less percent. Can't do that by lowering cholesterol. All right, and then a Finnish study, 2,800 men, all older men once again. And what do you know? Those who donated blood regularly over a 9-year period had, and I'm not kidding at all, you can read it in The Lancet, 88% less heart attack and stroke, sir. Now, what's the difference between, what's the difference here? Well, guess what a menstruating woman is doing? She's donating blood once a month, not in exactly the classic fashion, but she's keeping her blood thinner and less abrasive. And what really leads to cardiovascular disease, there's a whole book or two on this, is not got nothing to do with chemistry. It's got to do with physics. If the blood is too thick, it abrades when it bangs into a branch point in the artery, and that abrasion causes inflammation. And the cholesterol is used as body's plaster to cover up the inflammation. So if we continue to have thick blood, we continue to spread that inflammation, we continue to paste on plaster on it, or cholesterol if you want to call it that, and sooner or later that plaster clogs up the artery. But if we just go donate blood, sir, we don't create abrasion. We don't have to paste cholesterol, and so we don't have to worry what our cholesterol levels are. Cholesterol is not the cause of heart attack and stroke. Cholesterol is secondary to the abrasion caused by thick blood. And all of us guys, since we never ever in our whole lives have menstrual periods, always have thick blood. And so if we want to stay out of that heart attack and stroke realm, we got to go donate blood, sir. And I don't know why the blood banks don't want to tell you about this, but it's absolutely for real. And do I know that they know about it? Yes, because I've talked to staff at the blood banks, and they take this typical, one of them took, I should say one of them, took the typical Seattle approach. I asked, "Oh, don't you know about this? Why don't you advertise it? People come in like crazy to donate blood because they can do themselves some good." And the answer I got back was, "Oh, we only want people to donate blood for altruistic reasons." What a typical Seattle opinion. We got to be altruists. We can't do something for ourselves. Okay, I'll shut up.
Well, I'll let you know. Since listening to you, I turned around and I have been donating blood, and I have lowered my cholesterol by donating blood.
There you go. Well, that worked too.
You bet. I donate blood because of you. I'd like to know my wife, though. She can't donate blood. That's the reason I asked about the choline for her, and if it would help. What is it, thinning her blood, or how could she lower cholesterol without being able to donate blood?
Well, sir, what's the reason she can't donate blood?
She figured she had a disease about, 40-some years ago?
Okay, well, that's very simple, sir. There are a number of doctors in our area, naturopathic physicians, medical doctors who do natural medicine, and most of them have IV rooms where they can put in an IV and drip in who knows what vitamin or mineral. But also, if you can put something in, you can take something out. And that's called therapeutic phlebotomy. You just have a vacutainer flask, as it's called, and you put in a needle, and all the blood comes out into that bottle. And guess what? You just donated blood, even though it never is going to be given to somebody else. And then what do you do with that blood? Well, either the clinic that does that will dispose of it safely, or you can take it home. And some of the most beautiful rose bushes I have ever seen, sir, are where people dug a deep hole so the dogs wouldn't smell the blood and dig it up. And in the deep hole, put the blood down there and planted a big old rose bush with a whole bunch of dirt. And wow, do those roses grow good. So you could either, if you can't donate it because of a disease, you can grow good roses, sir.
That's cool. That's cool. Real quick, can you tell me this TheraWorks business with cramps? Is that something that the same company makes statin?
I'm sorry, TheraWorks with what, sir? I missed something.
Well, they come out with this product now called TheraWorks for like cramps, late cramps. I'm asking, is the same company that makes your statins, or are they also putting out this TheraWorks product, and what's in TheraWorks?
I'm sorry, I'm unaware of the product, because leg cramps are not due to a leg of TheraWorks. They're due to a lack of, in order, magnesium, potassium, sometimes calcium, and as a last resort, vitamin E. And if none of that works, we just take the magnesium and do what's called a rapid magnesium IV push. And with all those tools, which are all natural, sir, we've helped everybody get rid of all their leg cramps. So I don't even pay attention to TheraWorks. I want to use nature's tools.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your time.
Well, you're welcome, sir, and I'm sorry about that. that last answer, but it's true. Those are the things that'll help with leg cramps that we need to be using.